السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
أبا عن إرهاب
عامل
أمين
الحمد
الإسلام.
لله تمام.
Can we go with the class?
نعم يا سلام.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. بإذن الله in furtherance of the reading of our book الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل رحمه الله. We will be looking at باب ما جاء في التمادح. باب ما جاء في التمادح. The chapter about what has been reported about going beyond bounds, exaggeration about praising a person. What is it that has been reported about going beyond bounds? الإثناب في المدح. المبالغة في المدح. Going beyond bounds when we praise a person. Going beyond bounds when we praise a person. When we speak positively about a person regarding something he says, or regarding a particular action that he performs, or regarding anything that requires to be spoken about an individual. When the words of praise and encomium or encomia, when they become much beyond what that person really is, that is like expressing approval regarding the action of statement of a particular person that is beyond what he does, or that is beyond his reality. When it is beyond the reality, it falls under the issues of at-tamadduh. Others amongst the ulama say from that is also when it comes so frequently, all the time, he is praised all the time. He has to be praised all the time. It has to be praised. It comes under the issues of at-tamadduh. Likewise, when we understand that praising such a person, even if it is not repeatedly, or it is not beyond his person or her person or the realities regarding that person, but it may lead him to pride, or it may lead her to pride. And being proud is to feel high above the rest of the people, looking down upon them. Or it may make him begin, or make her begin to have a sense of self-importance, self-centeredness. Then in such cases, this is prohibited in Islam. At-tamadduh is being excessive in praise. Al-ithnabu fil-madhi. Going excessive when you praise somebody, when you speak statements of approvals regarding the action or statements of an individual, when you commend an individual beyond his reality or her reality, this is prohibited in Islam. Likewise, when it becomes excessive, repeatedly, always, so when it's beyond his reality, or it is to his reality, but it comes always, all the time. Or that when it is even done at all, we fear that it will lead that person to al-ujub. Al-ujub is being self, feel too big, high about his person beyond his reality. He himself begins to think, oh, there is no one like me. There is no better than me. I have reached the peak of good deeds, and so on and so forth. When all these things come in the issue of commending people, it falls under the issues that the Sharia has prohibited. And you will see its connection with the matters that we had discussed. We had discussed in the past that it is not lawful to become a Muslim that is regularly cursing the people La'an. Neither is it from sound iman to be Ta'an, someone who is regularly defaming people and dispraising them. It's not also lawful to be from the people who spread fahisha. You hear about something indecent, you begin to spread it. Or vulgarity. Islam prohibits us from being vulgar. You see, these are from the aspects of speaking negative about people. Islam prohibits backbiting and slandering. All of this comes from the aspects of speaking negative to the people. It also prohibits alams. Alams is to, in front of a man or a woman, say a word to bring him down. This is alams. Allah says, "Wala talmizu anfusakum." Likewise, nabzu al-laqab or nabzu al-alqab, directing a nickname to a brother or a sister is also prohibited in Islam. All of these come from the aspects of employing the tongue. So negatively employing, using the tongue can also come from the aspects of praising a person. It can also come from the aspects of commending the person. It can come from the aspect of expressing approval for some certain actions of the individual. If the expression of approval becomes too regular and repeated, if the expression of approval and commendation becomes something that is beyond the reality of the individual being praised, or that when that is done at all, it will lead that individual to self-importance and arrogance, then in these three conditions, at-tamaduhu becomes something that is prohibited in Islam. So we want to, bismillah, today read the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the companions about self-praise or about at-tamaduh, expressing praise, going beyond bounds when we commend people. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has narrated the reports regarding it in Hadith 333. And he said, rahimahullah, حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة عن خالد عن عبد الرحمن ابن أبي بكر عن أبيه أن رجلا ذكر عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأثنى عليه رجل خيرا فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ويحك قطعت عنق صاحبك يقوله مرارا إن كان أحدكم مادحا لا محالة فليقل أحسب كذا وكذا إن كان يرى أنه كذلك وحسيبه الله ولا يزكي على الله أحدا. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports this hadith from his Shaykh Adam ibn Abi Iyas al-Asqalani. So he said, rahimahullah, حدثنا آدم. We had read a number of reports where Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from this Shaykh of his, Adam ibn Abi Iyas. Let me quickly say that name, Adam. I have not in recent times find brothers naming themselves or naming their children Adam, male children. Let us go back. It's one nice name to have, Adam. So Adam ibn Abi Iyas is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, حدثنا شعبة, that is Al-Imam شعبة ibn al-Hajjaj, Abu Bistam al-Makki rahimahullah. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj was one of those who was referred to as Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, the leader of the Muslims regarding the sciences of the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, he is reporting from Khalid ibn Mihran Khalid ibn Mihran, he is popularly known as Khalid al-Hazza. When ulama say Khalid al-Hazza, he's known. He is Khalid ibn Mihran, Abu al-Munazil, al-Hazza, Khalid al-Hazza, is a well-known reporter of hadith from amongst the ulama. And he is reporting from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah. His kunya is Abu Bahrin. He is Abu Bahrin al-Basri. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah is the child of a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nufay' ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi. Nufay' ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi. He is the father of Abdul Rahman. So that's why it says, An Abihi, yani An Abi Bakra. So Abu Bakra is Nufay' ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra is Abdul Rahman ibn Nufay' ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi. Because Nufay' ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi, he is the one who was being referred to as Abu Bakra. And I'm sure we'll understand that this is the second Abu Bakra amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is different from Abu Bakrin. There is Abu Bakrin Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but this is Abu Bakra. And there are two of them that we have seen in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra, he is Abdul Rahman ibn Nufay ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi, and he is reporting from his father Nufay, who witnessed the incidents that he was going to report from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Anna rajulan dhukira inda an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, فأثنى عليه رجل خيرا. نفيع بن الحارث الثقفي said, أن رجلا ذكر عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A man was mentioned in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Someone mentioned another person's name while in the presence of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأثنى عليه رجل خيرا. So Rajulun Asna alayhi akhaira, one of those who was present, one man amongst those.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, Shaykhan.
Wa amir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Sorry, I was changing from one internet source to another.
All right.
What was the last thing that we heard?
The last thing I heard, we were talking about Abu Bakr.
Naam?
We were talking about Abu Bakr.
Taib. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, Nufay' ibn al-Harith, was the one who reported this narration from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I think I was saying that Abu Bakr is Nufay ibn al-Harith is the second Abu Bakra we are reading about from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second Abu Bakra we are reading about here in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is Nufay ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu. We had read about Abu Bakra, who was more popular as Abu Bakr in the earlier narrations that we read. And I also mentioned that Abu Bakr is different from Abu Bakrin. The Bakr has the Ta'ul Marbuta at the end of it. So it is Abu Bakr. But as for Abu Bakrin, it does not have the Ta'ul Marbuta, the Ha, at the end of it. So I hope that is about it out. Nufay' ibn al-Harith is the one who witnessed this incident. Anna rajulan dhukira inda an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One man was mentioned in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأثنى عليه رجل خيرا. One of those who was present with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام began to express words of praise and commendation regarding the other man who was mentioned. One man was mentioned, and another person in the gathering began to express words of praise, words of encomia or encomium to that person who was mentioned. In a report here in Sahih Muslim, because this hadith itself with its chain of reports occurs in the Sahih of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, it also occurs in Sahih Muslim. In one of the reports in Sahih Muslim, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that man who was present, who mentioned positive, who mentioned encomia, who expressed commendation regarding the first person, what did he actually say? يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْهُ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْهُ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. The particular words of commendation that was mentioned about that person occurs in this report in Sahih Muslim. That man who praised him said, مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْهُ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. There is none amongst the people after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no person who is better than that man regarding so and so and so. Regarding the man who was mentioned, the man who was present said, مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَفْضَلُ مِنْهُ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no one amongst us who is better than him regarding so and so and so. One point we should note here is that this statement itself appears to be excessive. It appears to be excessive. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nobody that is better than him regarding so and so and so. The Prophet was there, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, wayhak, wayhak. In some report it said waylak, wayhak, or waylak. Way linguistically refers to woe, evil. So when they say waylak, it would mean literally that wail should be upon that person, that evil should be on that person, that war should be on that person. When Arabs say waylak or wayhak, they do not actually intend to curse that person. When they say that expression, Arabs employ that expression, wayhak or waylak, liman waqa'a fi halakatin la yastahiqquha. They employ it regarding a person, yani waqa'a fi halakatin, who is getting into something very, very destructive. He's going to commit a serious mistake, la yastahiqquha, that he does not deserve to commit. Why do you want to make that kind of a mistake? This is a mistake that he shouldn't make. So when a person falling into a mistake that he shouldn't make, Arabs have a way to say to him, wayhak, or what? Waylak. They do not mean that woe be upon that person. What they mean is that should you be making this kind of a mistake, even though literally that statement would mean that woe should be unto that person. So even though when in translation you read it as woe be unto you, actually mean that woe be unto you. That would mean is that
Assalamu alaikum wa Abu Amir. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
It was recorded again. No worries, bismillah. What was the last thing that we heard in class?
You were talking about the usage of the expression wayhak, difference in the translation and the meaning.
Okay. So in translation, translators will say "Waylak," and they will be literary in that they will say "Woe be unto you," because "Wail" actually refers to woe. So when they say "Waylak," they actually would say that the woe should be on that person. But what it actually means in its meaning is that the individual waqa'a fima fi halakatin la yastahiqquha. A person is getting into something destructive, that something that could ruin him, that he should not get into. So when they say waylak, and by that they mean to set him back, they mean to push him back, they mean to discourage him, they mean to say something that will make him hold back. That's why wail is strong. Wail is also strong. When he hears it, he will move back. So that's why they express and say waylak or wayhak when a person commits a very dangerous error that could ruin the person. So when that person began to say that, Ya Rasulallah, ma min rajulin ba'da Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam afdalu minhu fi kada wa kada. That man who was mentioned, there is no one ba'da Rasulillah, after the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, afdalu minhu fi kada wa kada. There is no one after the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam who was better than him regarding so and so and so. The Prophet interjected alayhi salatu wasalam and said, "Wayhak," that is, stop that. Don't go into that. Don't ruin yourself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said, "Qata'unuka sahibik." You have caught the neck of your brother. You are cutting the neck of Qata'at. You have caught the neck of your brother. How did he cut the neck of his brother? Because he gave him an expression of praise that was destructive. He gave him an expression of praise. He gave a commendation that was destructive. And the ulama said the connection between cutting the neck of a person and praising him is that when you praise him beyond his reality, it's like you are killing him, because he becomes unable to carry on those good deeds again. He has gone beyond his ability. So he will not be able to continue. So it's like you shut him down in his deen. You shut him down in his deen. So it is related to shutting him down in his life, because the actual life of an individual is his deen. When you cut him off his deen, you have cut him off life. So that is a connection between the individual cutting his neck and praising the individual beyond his person. You have cut him off his humility. You have cut him off his sedateness. And you have pushed him towards self-importance and arrogance, al-ujub and al-kibr. So it's like you are killing him in his deen. When you kill a person's deen, is worse than even cutting his neck. When you kill a person's deen, the reason he is in this life is to establish his deen, with which he will meet his Lord on the day of Qiyam. So if you cut him off his humility and you push him towards self-importance and arrogance, it's as if you have killed him in his dunya. The purpose for his existence, his deen, you are depriving him, you are cutting off that purpose, that foundational purpose of existence. So it's as if you are killing the person when you begin to excessively praise him, or you begin to praise him repeatedly, or you begin to praise him in such a way that it will bring him into self-importance and what? And arrogance. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wayhak, qata'unuka sahibik, qata'unuka sahibik, wa yakuluhu mirara. The Prophet continued to repeat it, alayhi salatu wa salam, mubalagatan fi zajri lahu, by way of really, really expressing that that person should stop what he's doing, and by way of cautioning him and warning him, and madhi man khifa alayhi al-ujub, because he was praising someone and it is feared that from that statement of praise, the person may become self-important. He may begin to see himself as better than any and every person and anybody. Because what was said regarding him is that Ma min rajulin ba'da Rasulillah alayhi salatu wassalam afdalu minhu fi kada wa kada. I do not know anyone after the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam who was better than that person regarding so and so and so. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wassalam, wayhak, stop that. Don't go on with that. Qata'ta unuqa sahibik. You have cut the neck of your brother. You have destroyed his deen. How have you destroyed his deen? Perhaps the man was usually humble in what he did. You are now inserting into him a sense of self-importance and a sense of pride, arrogance over the rest of the people. So it's as if you are destroying his religion. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in kana ahadukum madihan la mahala. If any of you, in kana madihan, if any of you will praise or commend somebody, la mahala, without, you know, if you don't have a way out, la mahala, no way out, we just have to praise, and in kana la bud, if it becomes so incumbent, the person just has to be praised. Because the basic rule is that don't praise him so that you don't destroy him. But the Prophet said, طيب, إن كان أحدكم مادحا لا محالة. If any of you will have to necessarily praise that person, then let him say, أحسب كذا وكذا. I think that he is like this. So you want to praise a person. Oh, this woman is very good, very humble, very knowledgeable, and so on. You want to praise him, whether in his in her presence or in her absence. I say that because the incident took place in the absence of the person who was being praised. He was being praised in his absence, but in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means the matter has to do with whether praising that person in his presence or praising him in his absence. So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, don't do that. Don't cut your brother's neck. Don't destroy your brother because you are praising him. May Allah protect us. So he continued to repeat it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he said, in kana ahadukum madihan la mahala. If necessarily praising becomes incumbent, he has or she has to be praised. Falyakul, let the one who wants to give that statement of commendation, let him say, Ahasabu kaza wa kaza. I see it like this. I see him to be humble. I see her to be humble. I see her to be someone who is very, very strict upon her deen. I see him to be someone who makes good efforts in his deen. I see him like that. I consider him like that. In kana yara annahu kadhalik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he truly sees him like that, it means it is prohibited for you to give a praise of a somebody, of a person, to give commendation regarding a person when you don't see him like that. People do that a lot. You don't consider him like that. In fact, some people will give people words of praise and commendation in the opposite of their impressions regarding such persons. They see him as someone who is like Kadasika. But when they will speak about him, they will say, oh, I have not seen anyone who is very, very serious and, you know, hardworking like him. Meanwhile, in the reality they have, in their impressions regarding that person, is that that person is nonchalant. That person is like a dasika. That person is lazy. But when they want to praise him to his face or to the face of those behind who will pass the information to him, they begin to say the opposite of what they have known. This is worse than saying what exactly you know about that person and going beyond bouncing it. It's worse than it. It's worse to praise a person with something that is not, no more than just telling lies about him. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you want to necessarily now speak positive, you want to commend somebody, you want to approve of the person's speech and character, necessarily, it becomes incumbent that you say that about him, such as when a man comes in front to ask to marry a woman. So we can ask that man who has come in front on his behalf, what can you say about him? Is he a righteous person? And then he says, he's a righteous person. And then I see him like that. I consider him like that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should say that if he truly sees that person like that, he should say that if he truly sees that person like that, you can say, ahsibuhu, I consider him, or ahsabuhu, I consider him like that. I see him like that. Wallahu hasibuhu, but Allah knows him more. Ahsibuhu or ahsabuhu hakaza, I see him like that. That is my consideration of him. Wallahu hasibuhu, but Allah knows him better. Allah's account regarding that person is better. Allah knows him better than I know him. But this is how I have known this man. I have not known anything bad about him. This is what I know about him. Wallahu hasibuhu. But in this report, in Al-Adabul Mufrad, it comes as wa hasibuhu Allah, the one who knows, who has a better account, who has a better knowledge, whose knowledge encompasses the entirety of the affairs of that person, is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa la yuzaki ala Allahi ahada. And no one is praised and presented in a praise to Allah subhanahu. I am not presenting him in a praise to Allah. I'm not recommending him in a praise and presenting him before Allah. I am not. Because Allahu hasibuhu, Allah knows him better. Allah's account of him is better. Allah knows his open and his secret. But what I have said regarding him, hakaza ahsibuhu, that is how I have seen him. That is how I have known him. So we say this expression when we necessarily have to praise a person. If you necessarily have to praise a person, you say hakaza aw kadhalika ahsibuhu, that is how I consider him, that is how I see him. Wallahu hasibuhu wa la uzaki ala Allahi ahada. This is what to say when you praise somebody. You say ahsibuhu kadhalik, or hakaza ahsibuhu, that is how I see him, that is how I have known him. Wallahu hasibuhu, but Allah knows him better than everyone. Wala uzaki ahadan, wala uzaki alallahi ahada. And I am not praising anyone and presenting him to Allah. I am not doing that. I'm not coming in front. Oh Allah, I'm only saying what I know about him. I don't know any evil about him. He's a righteous and nice person. He is Allah. He keeps up upon his deen. But Allah knows him better. Allah knows his secrets. Allah knows his good deeds. Why does he do them? Does he do those good deeds for the sake of Allah? Or does he do those good deeds for self-praise and amazement? Allah alone knows. But what is clear to me, what I know of him, what I know of her, is that she's a striving person. He's a striving person upon his deen. He's a very benevolent person. Hakaza ahsibuhu. That is how I have considered him. Wallahu hasibuhu. Allah knows him more. Wala uzaki ala Allahi ahada. And I am not purifying anybody. I'm presenting him in front with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah knows him better than I know. So this is what we say when we necessarily have to praise a person. You will see that we have set this sunnah aside. The sunnah of not praising the people, because we're in the generation of praise now. Every person who writes a post on the internet requires that he has a thumbs up. He likes a thumb up. He likes to be praised. He likes to be commended. when he sends a post and it is not commended or liked, he feels uncomfortable. Some of the people are not able to sleep because they sent a post on the Facebook and it has not been marked with thumbs up and it has not been shared, because the number of those who share it to them make them feel that that is the extent of the acceptability of what they have said or what they have written. So, and then people begin to make positive comments of recommendation. They begin to pour encomium. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam discouraged us from doing that. The one who did that behind him, he says, "Qata'ta unuqa akhik," you have cut the neck of your brother. So when we praise people, we become excessive in it. We tell regarding them what is not of them. This is one of the worst forms of the use of the tongue. When you use the tongue, it's just like the other side of it, where you insult and abuse your brother to bring him down. In this case, you want to bring him up, but upon injustice, upon unfairness, upon falsehood. So you want to say of him what is not of him. Don't forget that Allah has an account. Allah has the account of you and that person. Allah knows him better than you. So the one who did it, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, "Wayhak, don't fall into that kind of an error." So it means praising a person beyond the person's reality, or being repeated. You praise him all the time. Or that you praise a person who is not so perhaps strong in his being, that the praise can now lead him to become a person who is self-amazed. He becomes self-amazed with himself and begins to look down in arrogance over the people. These things are bad. Don't do it for the sake of Allah. It's from the wrong aspects of the use of our tongues. If we now have to necessarily praise the person, what should we say? We say, "Ahsibu fulanan hakada." That's how I see him. Akaza ahsibuhu. That is how I consider him. Wallahu hasibuhu aw wa hasibuhu Allah. The one who has an all-encompassing account of that person is who? Allah. Wala uzaki alallahi ahada. And I am not praising anybody in presentation to Allah. I'm not praising anybody and presenting him to Allah. I am not doing that. And it is not in my place to do that. I'm only expressing what I know regarding that person. So for the sake of Allah, we should take note of this sunnah. The first thing is that don't praise your brother beyond his true person. Don't say of him what you don't know of him. Number two, avoid praising him so that you do not bring him into destruction. You do not overturn and destroy his sense of humility and push him into arrogance and self-amazement. Don't do it for the sake of Allah. And the third thing about that is that if you now have to say something positive about a person, say it and then come to the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Say it that hakaza ahsibuhu. That is how I have seen him. Wa hasibuhu Allah. The one who has an all-encompassing knowledge and account of his personality is Allah. وَلَا أُذَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And I'm not presenting anyone in recommendation to Allah subhanahu. This is what we say in the circumstance where we necessarily have to praise the people. So what we are used to in our own generation of extending praises, we kill the people by praising them. We kill the people by praising them beyond what they are. We kill the people by saying repeatedly of them, even regarding what they are. And then we push them away from the aspects of humility and looking at themselves as people who need to actually struggle to attain what is good. We begin to push them into self-amazement and arrogance. I hope that this narration is clear. Abu Bakr Nufay ibn al-Harith reported that anna rajulan zukira inda nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. A man was mentioned in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Fa'afna alayhi rajulun khayra. One of those who was present began to praise that person. In the report here in Sahih Muslim, the praise that was said regarding that person in absentia was that ma min rajulin ba'da rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam afdalu minhu. There is no one after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afdalu minhu fi kaza wa kaza, better than this man regarding so and so. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, wayhak, stop that. Don't get into destruction. Don't ruin yourself. You have caught the neck of your brother. You have taken the life of your brother because you are destroying his deen. You are pulling him off humility and you are dragging him into self-amazement and arrogance. The Prophet was repeating it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show how intense it is. That condemnation was, it is something that is very, very condemned. So the praising the person and praising the person and praising the person. The Prophet condemned it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then said, in kana ahadukum madihan la mahala, if any of you would necessarily praise another person, let him say this when you praise people. When it becomes incumbent that you have to commend a person, you should say, hakada, ahsabuhu kaza wa kaza. Ahsibuhu kaza wa kaza. I consider him like this and like that. And that is if you truly consider him like that. Wa hasibuhu Allah, the one who has the absolute knowledge, the absolute account of that individual is Allah. وَلَا يُزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And it is not appropriate for anyone to praise anybody and present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah has the full account of the true personality of that individual. I hope that this narration is clear. One of the evil things to do is to become excessive in praising people or become repeated in praising people, because this may lead them into arrogance and self-amazement. Now, if we now have to do it, the restrictions have to be there in our speech that we are only saying what we know regarding that person. The one who has absolute account of him is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our statements regarding him is not as if we are presenting him in praise before the one who knows better than us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we can move to the next hadith, 334. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah, qala haddathana Ismail ibn Zakariya, qala haddathani Buraid ibn Abdullah, an Abi Burdat, an Abi Musa, qal, sami'a al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama rajlan yuthni ala rajlin wa yutrih. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أهلكتم أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل قطعتم ظهر الرجل. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports that hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah, that is Abu Ja'far al-Dulabi. Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah, that is Abu Ja'far al-Dulabi, rahimahullah. He said, haddathana Ismail ibn Zakariya. Ismail ibn Zakariya is the sheikh of al-Bukhari in this isnad, rahimahullah. And he said, haddathani Buraid ibn Abdullah. Buraid ibn Abdullah was reporting from his father Abi Burda. Buraid ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Burda. Buraid ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Burda is reporting from his father Abdullah ibn Abi Burda, and he is reporting from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. All of these are from the descendants of the eminent companion radiallahu anhu, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Burda is the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and Abdullah is the grandchild of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Buraid is the great grandchild of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhum. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reporting this hadith. He said, سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رجلا يثني على رجل ويطريه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم heard a man يثني على رجل. That man was praising another man. ويطريه. يطريه. الإطراء is going beyond bounds in the praise. He was praising him and he was going beyond bounds in that praise. Just like the one we had in the first hadith. يثني عليه ويطريه. In the first hadith, the sadaw alayhi was just understood to be beyond limits. But here it is clearly mentioned that Yusni alayhi, he was commending him, he was praising him, he was speaking approval of him, wayutrihi, and he was going beyond bounds in the expression of praise. Faqala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Thereupon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ahlaktum أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل أهلقتم. You have destroyed ظهر الرجل, the man's back. You have broken the man's back. In another report it says قطعتم أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل. You have cut the man's back, destroyed his backbone. And when you break a person's backbone, you kill the person, you destroy the person. You don't destroy your brother's backbone. The backbone is his deen. The backbone is his deen. When you praise him, you break that, you break it. Yusni alayhi wa yutri. He begins to praise him and goes beyond bounds in the praise. Going beyond bounds in the praise would include mentioning regarding him what is not of him. Going beyond bounds in the praise is repeatedly mentioning the words of commendation, until self-amazement and arrogance creep into his mind. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, قَطَعْتُمْ ظَهْرَ أَخِيكُمْ قَطَعْتُ ظَهْرَ الرَّجُلِ. You have cut the man's backbone. You are destroying his religion. You make him lose the little sense of humility that he would have. So don't do that. Don't become excessive. Don't do it at all. And don't become repeated. All the time, you are praising him all the time. You are praising her all the time. Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi in Sayyid al-Khatir, he also mentioned this. He said, if you have a friend and you praise him, you say to him good things all the time, how important he is to you, he will turn to become a negative person. Ibn al-Jawzi said this in Sayyid al-Khatir. You will destroy him. You will destroy him, and then you begin to cry that you are disappointed. You cursed it. You destroyed him with praise, with words of commendation. That is not to say when a person does something good, he's not commended. But don't forget, if you want to commend him for something good, don't forget what the Prophet said you should say, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because when you commend someone who does something good, it is from the aspects of commending goodness. We'll come back to that in the next chapter. But when you commend, be balanced in it. Don't become excessive. Don't make it become so repeated. Be balanced. Be balanced in the commendation. Let it be just of what the man or what the woman is. Someone wants to marry a woman, and then they come to you to ask regarding her. And then you begin to praise her, praise her, praise her, praise her, praise her. The man marries her and gets in the house. I've seen it. I've heard of a case like that. The brother said from the first day the woman came to his house, he knew that he was in trouble. This was not the person who was described to me. So we should be careful. Men become mischievous too when they praise their friends to their sisters and their cousins. There are very bad cases that we have heard. A brother was praised and praised and praised. He got married to the sister, and the sister was saying the complete opposite of what had been said regarding the man. So let us be careful in our words of commendation. And if we have to commend people for doing something good, let it be just what they have done. Let it be just as it is. Let it be said just as it is. And then when we say that, let's not forget. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to us, if any of you, إذا كان أحدكم مادحا صاحبه, if any of you will have to praise his brother, la mahala, necessarily, فليقول, let him say, أحسب فلانا. That is how I have seen so and so person. That is how I consider him. والله حسيبه. But Allah knows him more. ولا أزكي على الله أحدا. And let not anyone, no one has that audacity to present a person in approval before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us be moderate for the sake of Allah when we make recommendations, when we speak positively regarding people. For the sake of Allah, let us be very, very moderate so that we do not destroy the humility of those people and push them towards self-amazement and self-importance and, of course, arrogance. May Allah protect us. We could quickly go to Hadith 335. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Qabisa, Qala Haddathana Sufyan, that Sufyan al-Thawri, and Imran ibn Muslim, that is Abu Bakr, Imran ibn Muslim, Abu Bakr al-Basri, and Ibrahim al-Taymi. Ibrahim al-Taymi is well known. He is Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Taymi. And Abihi, he is reporting from his father, who was from amongst the students of Umar, Yazid ibn Shuraik. He said, Kunna julusan inda Umar. We were sitting down in the companionship of Umar radiallahu anhu. Fa'asna rajulun ala rajulin fi wajhihi. One man began to praise another man fi wajhihi, right in front of the man. A man was praising his brother in front of that person. فقال, and then Umar said, رضي الله عنه, أقرت الرجل أقارك الله. أقرت الرجل أهلك. أهلكت الرجل أقرته أهلكته. Umar رضي الله عنه said, أقرت الرجل, you have destroyed the man. أقارك الله, may Allah destroy you. أقرت الرجل, he said, أقارك الله. So that man and every person who is in that gathering will know how dangerous and evil it is to praise people and become excessive right in front of them. So Umar said, radiallahu anhu, aqarta al-rajul, ahlakta al-rajul, you have destroyed the man. Aqaraka Allah, may Allah destroy you. So meaning, don't destroy your brother. Don't kill your brother in his deen. Don't drag him out of humility. Don't drag him into arrogance and self-amazement by being excessive in praising him, or being repeated in praising him, or saying regarding him what is not of him, or pushing him into these evils. For the sake of Allah, let it be moderate. Let it be moderate. In kana ahadukum madihan la mahala. If you must say an expression of praise necessarily, let's not forget. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we should say, أَحْسِبُهُ كَذَلِكَ. That is how I have seen him. وَاللَّهُ حَسِبُهُ. Allah has a better account of him. وَلَا أُذَكِي أَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And I'm not praising anybody. I'm presenting such a person in praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this statement of Umar is to further discourage anyone praising people, especially before them, and being excessive in that praise, saying of them what is not of them, praising them, and they become susceptible, they become pushed into self-amazement. May Allah protect us, and arrogance. So that is narration 335. I think we can stop there today, although there's another statement of Umar that follows, where Umar radiallahu anhu said, Al-Madhu Zabhun. Al-Madhu Zabhun. Being excessive in the praise of a person is Zabhun, is a slaughtering. When you are excessive and repeated in praising that person, you are slaughtering that person. You are killing the person. You are slaughtering him. Al-Madhu Zabhun. And the Prophet too, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Imam Ahmad reports from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he said, Iyakum wa tamaduh. Be careful. Beware of excessively praising yourself. For innahu azabhu, because it is slaughtering. Praising the person is slaughtering. And you see it in the statement of Umar here again. Praising is slaughtering. When you praise the person, you praise him, you are slaughtering him. May Allah protect us. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. Inshallah, we'll go to the next chapter about the permissibility of being moderate in the praise. It is permissible when we praise to be moderate. This one is lawful in Islam. It is lawful in Islam. When you praise, be moderate. Don't be repeated. But that allowance to praise itself, inshallah, will be discussed in the next class. Abu Amir.
No, jazakumullah khairan, Shaykhana.
Ameen.
The first question here is, may Allah be merciful to you, Shaykh.
Ameen.
Person to praise, the dead person. Would prohibition of praising a person in their absence still hold? We see the scholars do this a lot amongst themselves without the word ahsibu, except when it has to do with matter.
Except when it has to do with what?
Adam. Matardom.
Matardom. Yes. This is opening up the matter further. This is opening up the matter further. If we say expressions of praise regarding a person who is late, the matter is still there. Don't go beyond the limits of the person's reality. Don't praise him with what is not of him. The limit is still there. If he was alive, don't say regarding him what is not of him. If he was late, don't say regarding him what is not of him, because that to be called zuhur. That to be given a statement of testimony out of falsehood. You are testifying regarding his personality and you are lying. So it still holds regarding a person who has passed away. Don't praise the person life alive or dead with something that is not of him. And we praise them, we can praise the one who has died repeatedly with something that is of him. We can say that repeatedly, because what we fear regarding the one who is alive, that praising him can make him become deprived of those good qualities. Praising him can bring him into self-amazement and arrogance. That one is gone for the person who has died. So, and that was why when the scholars pass away, others praise them, not praise them, mentioning of them what is not of them, but praising them, mentioning of them what is of them. Don't forget, mentioning them with what is of them and extolling their virtues, mentioning regarding them things that they may not like it to be mentioned in front of the people. The early Muslims were like that. They used to do a lot of good deeds that they hide. They keep their good deeds. In our own times, we keep our good deeds in live broadcast on Facebook. In the earlier times, they used to hide their good deeds. Although the ulama says sometimes it is encouraged to even publicize good deeds, if that publicity will encourage the rest of the people to be upon the good deeds. More so in a time when what is prevalent is that people expose and show evil in the public, as if to say there's nobody upon any sort of a goodness. So in that kind of a circumstance, yes, it is encouraged to expose and show good deeds. But don't forget, if you want to expose good deeds because evil deeds is becoming, you know, popular amongst the people, don't lose your ikhlas. You're doing it for the sake of Allah also is put on the line, because you can lose it easily. You want to encourage people to do good and you can easily lose your own good deed. So you should be careful too about that. Don't let Shaitan deceive you to make you think that you are publicizing your good deed so that people can follow you and you are losing the reward of the good deed. You want to remove a fly flying in the face of a person when you have a scorpion under your own cloth. Be careful not to be deceived into that. So when a person becomes dead, and we are speaking good of him depending on what we know of him. And usually this is one of the things Allah does for his beloved servants. He makes the love of them become more in the mind of the people when they pass away. You see many of the scholars. I have a friend, he may be listening to me. We refer to him as Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Baz. That's what we call him. How did he become Sheikh Ibn Baz? He heard about Sheikh Ibn Baz after the death of Sheikh Ibn Baz. So he took that as a nickname for himself. Wherever you go, just ask for Ibn Baz. He became known where we lived at that time. So the ulama, when they pass away, they become more known than the time when they were alive. When Sheikh Ahmed Bamba passed away, we started hearing the books that he taught. He taught Sahih al-Bukhari, he taught Sahih Muslim. The last time I heard of him, when he was teaching those books, I had attended his Sahih al-Bukhari class a number of times. But when I actually got cut off was when he was reading Sunan al-Tirmidhi. But he actually finished 9 books of hadith. He read Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he read Sunan Abi Dawud, he read Sunan al-Nasa'i, he read Muwatta Malik, he read Sunan al-Darimi. We didn't know all of these. So good deeds of good people, bi-iznillah, become more popularized when they pass away. They become better known when they pass away. So that bi-iznillah, many of the people who hear good of them begin to say good of them and begin to beg Allah to forgive them. So this is a big gain when a person passes away. And the fear that he may become arrogant or self-amazed is no more there for a person who has passed away. So you hear scholars do that a lot. Scholars do that a lot. When a learned person passes away, they say well of him. But don't forget, that's the third thing we still be remaining that we have to be careful of. You can only say about the person who has passed away what is true of him. You cannot lie about that also. Likewise, when a person dies, fi sabilillah, when a person dies on a battlefield, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions a hadith in his Sahih, and he placed the hadith there. Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabili. Allah alone knows the one who was killed for his part. So no one can come back and say, Fulan is shaheed. Those who always say shaheed, when they say Hassan al-Banna, they say shaheed Hassan al-Banna. Who told you Hassan al-Banna is shaheed? Do you have a verse of the Quran? You have a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam? They will answer and say, no, he was killed for the sake of Allah. So we ask them, Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabili. Allah alone knows the one who was killed for his sake. So we just leave it at that. You don't go about saying so and so is shaheed, as if you have a verse of the Quran or a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prove that Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabili. Allah knows best. So even when you say that, you quickly limit yourself. When you praise the person, you quickly limit yourself because you don't know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is like opening up the case, these narrations we have read today, to include those who have passed away and the one who was seen to have passed away in a valid jihad fi sabilillah. I hope that elaboration is clearer, Abu Amir, inshallah.
Naam ya Shaykhana, salawatullahi alaykum.
Amin wa iyyakum.
This one reads, is it wrong as well when one feels bad, when he always delivers a good job, maybe at work, and expects a good commendation, being human though, from a superior, and rather gets otherwise for reasons best known to the superior? Jazakumullahu khair.
Amin wa antum. I think you have to reorganize your mind. You have to reorganize your mind not to expect their praise. Don't expect the praise. Don't expect it. Do your work. You are employed to do the work. You are not employed to do the work badly. You are employed to do the work properly. So why do you expect the praise for doing the work properly? You are just doing your work. You are just doing your work. So perhaps the superiors also feel that if they praise you, it may lead you to self-amazement and arrogance. Although I understand that in modern day corporate institutions, they don't like to commend their workers. they are stingy with expressions of commendation. It is from their ways of oppressing their workers, so that the worker does not think that he can ask for a salary increase, for example. But it may also be for the purpose that arrogance does not get into you, or self-amazement does not get into you. But if we have bosses who are balanced people, if a person does what is good, be nice enough to say this is good, within limits, within balance, within limits, within balance, be appreciative enough to say this is good, within limits and balance, to say, well, this thing is good, you've done well here. Just like you would criticize him if he did what he was, what was wrong. You will criticize him. So why wait to quickly criticize and fire him with notes of warning and caution when he did what was very good, beyond perhaps the expectation of the company? You are stingy to hold back that balanced commendation from your staff. Commend him, be balanced, but commend him. Just like you would criticize him if he was wrong. So commend him if he was right, but be balanced in the commendation. So the other way around is that you too do not expect all the time that each time you do something good, you have to be commended. That's from the sickness of the mind too. So don't place your mind upon, if I do it, I have to be commended. No, you may not be commended because it is your job. But we say to the bosses too, if you commend him, being balanced in that, it's not wrong. It will encourage him to do better. But be balanced in your commendation. Why we say to staff, you don't expect commendation because you are just doing your job. If you get it, fine. If you don't get it, it does not stop you from doing your work properly. Your salary is upon the fact that you are doing your work properly. I hope that that is clear from all angles, inshallah, Abu Amir.
No, I'm not sure to understand about it.
I mean, can we have your last question for today, inshallah?
Okay. I have two in mind. I don't know which two.
Okay, you can ask the two, inshallah.
No, I'm just asking about it.
I mean, what?
Sorry, may Allah preserve you upon goodness, sir.
I mean, what? Yeah.
Does an excessive praise apply between husband and wife? Like a woman loves her husband to tell her that she's beautiful, her food is tasty, and so on.
Be moderate in it. Be moderate. Be moderate in it. Like we had expressed, be moderate. Don't say about the food what the food is not. Some people want to say, oh, the food is nice, alhamdulillah. And then they started saying, is this, is that, beyond the reality. Don't praise a person beyond what it is because you are lying, simply. And then don't make it repeated all the time. That's what you say. The same thing we had said regarding praising. Don't tell a lie in a praise. Don't be excessive in a praise so that you do not lead that person into self-amazement and arrogance. Be moderate in it. Be moderate. Saying that you love your wife is a sunnah if you truly love her. Don't tell a lie. Some people don't love a woman. They will be telling her a lie that they love her. Some people don't love their wives. You'll be lying to her. So women don't love their husband. They lie to him. So if you don't love him, why lie to him? If you truly love him, you say that within limits. Bismillah, I love you. And I respect you. Bismillah. May Allah make you better than I see you. So you say that too. Say that too regarding them. Because the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam regarding these things are general. To maintain balance when you praise, be balanced in it. And you should be aware that that person you are praising, Allahu hasibuhu, Allah knows that person better than you know him or her. So be balanced in your praise of anyone. Wallahi, I know a man who used to praise his wife for 20 years. He used to praise her, she's nice, she's gentle, she's quiet, she's this, she's that, she's that. until it became clear to him that he was in a wrong, he was putting wrong pegs in wrong square holes. Subhanallah. So the woman might have liked him at the beginning, but became deceived by that praise and got into self-amazement and arrogance. Or that she wasn't even interested in him ab initio from the very beginning. And he was praising, thinking. The point here is that Allah knows that person better than you think, better than you know her or him, as the case may be. So for the sake of Allah, let's be balanced. And if you now have to praise your wife or you have to praise your husband, don't forget, Allahu hasibuhu, aw Allahu hasibuha. Allah has the absolute account regarding that person. May Allah pardon each and every one of us. Can we have the last question now, Abu Ahmed?
JazakAllah khair. I met a guy through halal matchmaking. We speak on phone. So some days ago, we fixed a day to see each other. He wanted zina. He could himself, but I rejected. He rented a short apartment. It was late, so he couldn't go back to Lagos. The next day, wasn't picking my calls and replying my text. He said he needed space. I really like him, but he kept saying, where did he keep his shyness that made him react that way? He's Sunni. I understand it's Shaitan. He said he offended me, but he's partly with mental illness or so. Can you please help me out? I'm currently heartbroken.
Well, you made a lot of errors. You met someone on a platform, and then it has to do with meeting a woman is going to meet a man. It was like you were bringing fire to petrol. How should you have gone to meet a man without your own mahram? And you shouldn't have gone to meet him. He is the one who should have come to your home. Women these days think we have the leverage to go wherever they want. Someone wants to marry you, you are going. No, he should come to your house. Why do you go to the house of a man? I'd had a case about 11 years ago, something similar to this. The brother tricked the sister to come to their home, and the woman got raped. The young girl got raped. So if you got raped, what would you have said? Women don't go to a man's house if you are not married to them. Upon I want to marry you, don't go and visit them. Don't go out to meet them anywhere. They should come to your parents' home. Come to the home of my father and my mother. Come and see me there. Come and meet me there. So you see the danger that people become exposed to me. Allah protect all of us. So for the sake of Allah, it appears to me that the man, you are just thinking that he is the person of Sunnah. He does not appear to be a person of Sunnah in this description. No person of Sunnah will say that, come and meet me somewhere, rent an apartment. And you go there too. So it's a blunder. It's an unlawful outing that you had. I think you need to involve the men in your family in this matter. Involve the men in your family. I've always ever believed women, no matter how old you are, you can be tricked into evil by a young boy. A boy of 17 can trick a woman of 41 into evil. I tell you this. So women should not present in marriage alone, without being accompanied by male relatives. Your men, your husband, your fathers, your uncles, your brothers should be involved from day one. Even before you even have a meet, they should be the one to begin to talk to that man first. Bring your men in front. Bring your uncles in front. Your fathers, bring them in front. And that's the mistake most parents also commit. They tell their young girls to go and bring husband. Go and bring husband to the house. How do you tell a sheep to bring a lion to the house? You tell a sheep to bring a lion to the house. What will happen to that sheep? If the sheep finds a means of escape, as in this case, it's just an escape. lions eat sheep. Just as men become the rulers over women. So how do you say that a sheep should go and bring a lion to the house? Parents, don't tell your daughters to bring a husband to the house. Be involved in the husband selection from day one. Parents, be involved. Uncles, brothers, teachers, be involved. If you teach a girl for 5, 6, 7 years, she becomes very knowledgeable. And when she wants to get married, she becomes married to just anybody. All your efforts on her have gone to naught. Teachers, be involved. Parents, be involved. Uncles, be involved. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Women, involve your male relatives when you deal with men in the issues of I want to marry. Bring your fathers, your uncles, your brothers, bring them in front. Your teachers, men, matured elderly people, bring them in front. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The sister should not be broken-hearted. She should bring her relatives male in front. If this brother can be avoided, look for another person who will not ask you for evil before he marries you. And I think women too, sometimes when you are due for marriage, you delay the marriage. If the man wants you, come to my house and marry me. See me there and marry me there. May Allah protect us. Abu Amir.
Amen. Assalamualaikum, Allah, Sheikh.
Amin. I think we can have a day today.
No, jazakumullah.
Amin. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته